Now it looks like it's working. Let me just check with the. I can monitor the tape with the earphone. So, okay, looks like we're all set. Let's just begin by saying that today is Tuesday, April 27th, 1993, and this is Jim Boning talking to Dr. Howard Simmons. Thank you. That's fine.
As I say, if Marta calls, get me.
We're at the experimental station at DuPont in Wilmington. Dr. Simmons, I know you were born on the 17th of June in 1929 in Norfolk, Virginia. Could you tell me something about your parents and your family background?
Sure. My dad was a sea captain, as were my two uncles and my paternal grandfather. The whole crowd of them had gone to sea, and my father's greatest fear was that I would do the same thing. My mother's parents were from Germany, were Bavarians, and my maternal grandfather was a entomologist, and if you go back two or three grandfathers, you come to Jacob Huebner, who was the first man to catalog North American butterflies. And as a matter of fact, German chemists in later years have found me much more famous for being the great-great-great-grandson of Jacob Huebner than they did for my chemistry. And that's literally true. These were fellows who were working on butterfly pheromones in Germany, and they were astounded that there was a relative of Huebner.
Why didn't your father want you to go to sea like he did?
Well, my dad had me at a late age, and his father did too. In fact, my grandfather was a man 21 when the Civil War started, and there are not many of us who can say that. He went through, he was at sea during the great years, and the Merchant Marine had changed a great deal by the earlier parts of this century, and it was no longer the pleasure that it used to be because of particularly labor problems, in his opinion. And, but he was too old, my dad was too old for the First World War. Of course, he was at sea, so I didn't think things worked.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I'm the only one.
And did you grow up in Norfolk?
Yeah.
With all your early schooling there?
All of my schooling was in Norfolk, right.
What was it like growing up in... Well, you were born just before the Depression started.
Right. And so as a small kid, I was... this was during the height of the Depression. But fortunately for us, I never saw much of it. I was strictly a middle-class family, but one that was financially secure in the terms of my father and so work. And so that was actually not something that I have any bad recollection of, that is the Depression years. My main thoughts of Norfolk were during the 40s and the war, when I was in junior high school and high school, and that's Norfolk, of course, was a great military base, and so I was steeped in that at that time.
I was going to ask you what it was like growing up in Norfolk and what your early schooling was like.
I don't think there was much distinguishing about my schooling until I got to high school. As a matter of fact, I didn't really care very much about school, I think, during the grammar school. And I almost had an inverse relationship with being interested in school as a function of time. By the time I got to junior high school and could take Latin and a few other interesting things, I started to take a more interest in school, and then I sort of liked high school much better than I did the earlier years. But I was blessed with having very good teachers, a math teacher who had taught mathematics at Princeton, but happened to be gay, and he was thrown out of Princeton. But the Virginia school system saw fit to hire him, and he was an absolutely super guy, along with being a concert pianist and a few other things. I had a PhD organic chemist teach me chemistry. So I thought the
what was his name?
Jackson. And if you ask me his first name, he was from the university. He had a PhD from the University of Virginia in organic chemistry. He ended up as a newspaper editor, which was what his real love was. after he had taught school for many years, he got out of that and became a newspaper editor in Smithville, Virginia, I remember. But at any rate, I thought I was very lucky in high school and had a very stimulating group of teachers. A particular love for mine was languages, particularly French. I won the Virginia first prize in gold medals in French competition for high school students, and after doing that for 3 years, they gave me a full scholarship to the University of Virginia in French, which I turned down and broke my father's heart. Made him pay for me to go to MIT where I could study chemistry.
Why did you, let me ask you just a little bit about your high school chemistry experience, and did you do lots of lab experiments?
Actually, I was interested in chemistry for reasons that I don't really know much earlier, and my father had a carpenter convert one small room of our house to a laboratory when I was around 12, and this was not terribly well equipped, but I don't remember doing anything original or really interesting in it, but it played a great role in exciting me, just following directions and doing experience and learning. So my early experience was all learning, but I found it very, very exciting. Yep. So I had an honest-to-goodness little laboratory set up from 12 on, and by the time I took high school chemistry, I thought I knew all that stuff.
This laboratory, did you ask for it, or was it your father's idea?
No, my father only complied. It was my idea, and my mother was the one who the science was on her side of the family, the German side, and I think she was very anxious to do things like that. If I wanted it, she would support it very strongly.
Did you have any interest in that family part with the entomology?
No. I knew my grandfather when I was a... He was in his 90s when I was a boy, 10 or 12, and I only knew him briefly, and an accomplished... Man, I still have some of his notebooks. He kept everything in Latin and spoke seven languages, and very strange fellow. But he was still out catching butterflies when he was 90. So.
Well, there are several questions. One is why did you turn down the language at Virginia to go to chemistry?
It had been in my mind all along that I was going to do something in physical science, and I dearly loved French and French literature and languages and attendant things, but it was almost as an avocation. I've kept that up over a long period of time, but it had gotten fixed in my mind very early on that I wanted to be a chemist, and I truly can't tell you why, except that it sounded like an exciting thing to do. And I enjoyed reading about it, and I think that was an early recognition that, and a sort of astounding to a child, that the you know, the whole world is made of chemicals and it's rationalizable, and that that presumably we can get control of all these things if we know enough about them.
Was there any specific reading that you had done at that point?
Probably, but I can't remember.
Okay. Why MIT? How did you pick that?
For no good reason other than the fact that it received such great publicity during the war. MIT, to many young people in the 40s, was like the Mecca. This is where radar came from. This is where a lot came from. So it was the great place in science to many of us who didn't know anything beyond that there were plenty of other good places in science. But I have to confess, it wasn't for any relatives going there or anything else. It was just simply that I knew of it as, or thought of it as, the Mecca of science. And rightly or wrongly, it's the reputation that came out of the war. And so it had fixed itself in my mind somewhere when I was 16 or 17 that that's what I wanted to do.
Do you have any friends who were like-minded?
No, most of my friends in Virginia in those days, this was, and I imagine a lot of states were not too different. Most of my friends went to William and Mary, University of Virginia, particularly VPI, VMI, those and most local Virginia schools. A handful of us went out of state, and but I think in those days it was partly the cost and partly people just didn't. So I had no, I just took off and went there.
Had you traveled any outside of the Virginia area before then?
Nothing significantly. I mean, just within a few states, that's all.
So what was your reaction when you got to Boston?
I liked Boston very much. I think it took a little bit of time to grow on me because I was pretty green when I first went there. But it was a thrilling thing to me, as it was to, I noticed, to many freshmen and guys who became good friends of mine. All of us found it thrilling in those days to be going to, as I say, to this Mecca. Now, after you were there for a while, you might have changed your mind. But this was right after the war, and the MIT was very tough on the student, on the undergraduates, to try to cull out the large number of veterans that had been they were obliged to admit. And so it was not unusual at all to have the class average of physics exams, chemistry exams, calculus exams, that sort of thing, of being about 30. That was very common that period. They were very tough on people. And I lived in a after the first year, I lived in a social fraternity. I was a Deke, Delta Kappa Epsilon. They had a fraternity house that's right on the campus, right on Memorial Drive. So I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I thoroughly enjoyed the undergraduate program in chemistry there. And that was where I met Jack Roberts, who was a young chemistry professor, and did a bachelor's thesis with him, which actually was published, and we actually got a paper on it.
Yeah, that was the first paper, an early paper in the small ring compound
theories. That's right.
Let me just back up for a moment. I assume you must have had a high ranking in your high school class, Virginia.
Yeah, I think it was several hundred. It was a big high school. I think it was like 30 or something like that.
But when you got to MIT, I'm assuming most of the other people were similarly inclined.
Better.
So the competition must have been a little different.
MIT was sort of like starting out at, except very compressed, it was sort of like starting school all over again. The longer I stayed there, my enthusiasm grew inversely with really grew rapidly with time. Or I should say it went linearly with time. So I really enjoyed those latter years, particularly my junior and senior years, and did very well. So I'd say in my freshman year, I was a modest student, and by the time I graduated, I was first in the chemistry class.
How many chem majors were there in that group?
30-odd or something like that.
Maybe we could just, I'm assuming you started there around 47?
47, right.
Maybe we could just go through the curriculum as you experienced it at that time. Who did you have for your first chemistry course?
A man named Gamble, who was a Virginian of all interesting, and one a true Virginia gentleman. He dressed and spoke like somebody from the western part of the state, and the aristocracy, and he literally was. He was a marvelous, marvelous chemistry professor for undergrad, at least from the teaching standpoint, for undergraduates, and he worked hard at this and. Had a all of the time that you could have wanted any time you needed to see him. He was a very inspirational guy. Not certainly a great chemist, but really a great teacher, and this is just what places like MIT needed, were fellows like him to grab you in that first year. And one of the things, by the way, as an undergraduate there, and I don't know how it is now, but I truly enjoyed was that it was very rare that I met faculty who didn't have a lot of time for students. If you'd drop in, they would put their feet up at the desk and talk to you at great length. And some of them were great names, and so there was a real thrill with this. But that started right out in my freshman year with John Gamble.
You don't remember the text you used?
No, I don't.
Just curious as to what they were doing then.
We had text all through MIT, but we depended very heavily on lectures. People took really copious notes, and it was sort of stupid because you spent your whole time writing rather than thinking. And I don't remember what any of the. I remember the original math book and the physics book, but I don't remember chemistry.
Sophomore year, was it organic or quant?
Interestingly, between the freshman and sophomore year, in those days, MIT required their chemistry majors to spend the summer at MIT and take qualitative analysis. And I can almost, oh, what's the guy's name? It's lost him now. But he was one of the famous old inorganic guys. But at any rate, he worked us pretty hard during that summer, and I think most of us were looked at it as a sort of a special kind of vacation. Really, it was a lot of time you had to put into it, but it was fun. Qualitative analysis was basically a lot of fun, and I think those of us who were seriously interested in chemistry got a lot of kick out of it. If I remember correctly, quantitative analysis was a sophomore course, but we took the qual in the summer. In those days, too, MIT was had it arranged that the chemistry course had more electives than many, and so we had a lot of opportunity to take other things in chemistry and other things you're interested in. So for people who were going on in chemistry, like I had planned to do, I took, by the time I had graduated, I had taken all of the required courses for a PhD, with maybe one exception, I can't remember. I had decided that somewhere in my junior year that I wanted to stay there. It was after meeting Jack Roberts and working with him, and then it was totally solid when I was a senior doing an experimental thesis for him that I really wanted to stay and work for him. Art Cope, who was chairman then, was pretty adamant about not having people stay, but he allowed a couple of us to stay. He allowed Ken Koppel and I to stay at the time, and this worked out great for me because I started out right away practically doing a PhD thesis with very little classwork to do and practically nothing in chemistry because I'd taken all of these as undergraduate electives. What I did have to do was I did a minor in physics and math and both, and so I spent most coursework was in the minor and not in chemistry.
Who did you have your first organic course with?
I believe it was Jack.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, right.
That's where you first met him in that.
Yeah. I had over the years I had courses with Jack, with Gardner Swain, John Sheehan, who else? Cope, Buki.
It's a stellar lineup.
Yeah, that was great. They were great. As I say, that was there were plenty of fine chemistry schools, but Art Cope had just finished reorganizing things there and was bringing in a bunch of young blood, and there was a tremendous chasm between the older guys on the faculty and the younger ones.
Were you aware of that as a student?
Yeah, everybody was. That because a lot of these ended up in shouting matches or not speaking to each other and things like that, so the students knew about a lot of them.
What was it about Jack Roberts that attracted you to him?
Well, I was at the most trivial level, I really liked the way he drew structures. he was the one who excited my interest in physical organic chemistry. I'd always liked physics and more of the quantitative physical mathematical side of it, and it was exciting because he was actually doing this and was in the center of one of the major controversies on the non-classical carbonium ion, and was made a lot of major contributions himself to it. Almost everything was exciting about Jack to me. He was a very kind, considerate guy who took a lot of time with his students. He was very impressive because he was an outstanding glass blower, and he could do almost anything in the laboratory. He could put all of his students to shame in terms of laboratory technique and what have you. And not just because he was older than we were or had more experience. It was because he was really good. And so I was very impressed with the laboratory, and I think that had actually doing things with your hands, and I think a lot of that came from Jack. So he certainly stimulated, I think, a lot of us both from the theoretical end and from the laboratory end both.
Because it was really the time when organic chemistry was changing. I mean, the only Jack Hines book wasn't out yet, Hammett's book was the only physical organic.
Yeah, I think Hines came out right around that time.
I think around 55, 50.
No, it was before that.
Before that?
Yeah.
I used it.
It might have been when I was in grad school that it came out. But
So you really saw a change in organic chemistry, is there?
Yes, and what was very exciting was that each time you picked up a journal, each time you picked up a JACS, there was one of the classic reactions, the Canova novel reaction or something like this. Someone was displaying the mechanism, and this idea of being able to draw and rationalize in a quasi-mathematical way, that is, the bookkeeping of electrons and that sort of thing, and the flow of electrons, but have it had a great appeal to me, and it was no question that 50s were really it was where chemistry was really breaking open, and I think all of us recognized it at the time that was happening. All you'd have to do was look at journals 10 years older, and it looked like you were looking at something in another world almost. So this new stuff was really new, and the new approach to mechanism, new approaches to synthesis, all of that seemed to be hinged at World War II. When the war was over, suddenly we took off in a great new direction.
Any interaction with the Harvard Chemistry Department?
I didn't have any as an undergraduate. There was modest contact in graduate school where I would go to some of these joint seminars that Swain and Bartlett had together.
I'm thinking of Louis Fieser and more classical organic chemistry.
But I did not have any contact with Louis really until I was teaching there much later.
You indicated earlier that you had done an undergraduate thesis with Roberts. Did you ask to do that? Was it standard to do that?
It was required. MIT required you to do an undergraduate thesis. It's something I've in educational talks, I've often included that point. I'm a strong advocate of that. If you're going to be a chemistry major, I think even if you're not going to go beyond that, I think it's a really good thing to learn what the laboratory is about. And there are plenty of things to work on as undergraduates that are not taxing but very valuable from an educational standpoint.